think the girl sang that song a little bit earlier that talked about well, he's still the Almighty, but then I think there was a verse in there that talked about how he's nothing less than the Almighty. And that's who he is. This morning, he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Amen.
I told somebody the other day, I said, I'm going to try some reverse psychology when I get up here and preach. I said, instead of saying I ain't going to be long, I'm going to tell them I'm going to be long, and maybe it'll go the other way. But if you've got your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Exodus chapter number 17. Exodus chapter number 17. I'm truly thankful for our pastor, preacher, and Miss Juwan. I'm truly thankful for y'all and their families. Super thankful. I don't think, and I'm going to interject this, I don't think that we ought to just celebrate it one day a year. I don't think that we just ought to celebrate it one day a year. I think every time we get a chance, we ought to show our appreciation to our pastor, whether it's on a big day like this or any other day. If you've got your Bibles and you're at Exodus chapter number 17, shout amen.
Amen.
We're going to be reading verse number 8. The Bible says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and hers stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomforted Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Father, I thank you, God, for what you're doing in this place. God, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, God, just to open up your word this morning. God, I thank you for the Edenfield sisters and the brothers in that family. God, thank you for bringing them this way, Father. And God, this morning, God, I pray that, God, each person in this place, God, that we leave the world on the outside, God, and we get our hearts and our minds and our attention solely focused on you this morning, God, and nothing else. Let's leave the world on the outside, God, and just for a moment get our eyes focused on you and all of our attention towards you. God, this morning I pray that you hide me behind you. God, I don't want them to hear from me. God, I want them to hear from you this morning. Father, I love you, and I pray that you just open the ears of your people and the hearts of your people. God, that we'll be able to take it in what you have for us this morning. We'll leave this place this morning, God, changed and different than the way that we walked in. Father, I love you, and I thank you for everything that you do for us and what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. A very familiar text here. And so here I want you to see, just kind of getting it set up to where we're going to be. Exodus is what's called basically the exit chapter, or the departure chapter is what they call it. And this is where God sends Moses. You see about Moses, and God sends Moses to free his people from bondage. And they go through this. He goes and goes to Pharaoh all those times, and the plagues come against them. And all of a sudden, it gets to the death of the firstborn. He lets them go. And then they find themselves, the Israelites, at the Red Sea. Everybody knows that scripture. They find them. God delivers them out of that. He uses Moses to hold up the rod and the seas part. And the Bible says that they walk through on dry land, get to the other side. Pharaoh's army is coming against them. And as they're right to them, God closes the waters and defeats Pharaoh and the army. That was after them. And you go through this text, and I'm just giving the Cliff Notes version, but you go through all the way up to this chapter number 17, and the Israelites go through certain things. Man, they go through the Red Sea of being backed up with Pharaoh, and then all of a sudden they go through. Then they come to a point to where they have no water, and God provides water. Yeah. Then they come to a point to where the water's bitter, and God throws a stick in the water, and all of a sudden it's sweet. The Bible says it's sweet water. They come to a place that to in Exodus to where they're hungry and they're without food, and all of a sudden God says, he says, in the evening there's going to be quail for you in the evening, and then in the morning you're going to go out and you're going to look, and there's going to be little lumps upon the ground, and what that's going to be is it's going to be manna for you to eat and to fill your soul. And all of that happens, but through everything, through every situation that they've been through, guess what the children of Israel did? They murmured. Bible says they complained about everything. And every time that they come to an obstacle or a place in their life to where something was needing to happen, man, they doubted God, and they thought, man, what are we going to do? How are we going to eat? How are we going to drink? How are we going to make it through to where Pharaoh's army don't kill us? And each and every time, God delivered. God delivered on his promises that he'll take care of his people. And so just for a few moments, we come to this place to where they're without water. And if you go back to the beginning of chapter 17, you'll see to where they're without water. And God tells Moses to take that rod and to strike that rock, and water comes forth. But what I thought was very interesting is what the very first three words of verse number 8 say. It says, then came Amalek. Yeah. Amalek was an enemy that was coming against the Israelites. I got to thinking this morning as we were riding over here just about how the devil, the Bible says that the devil is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And just about how just the thought process of what a lion does, and it's the same way that the Amalekites were doing the Israelites right here, is that they were going behind on the far end, and they were picking off those that were lagging behind. Man, ain't that just what the devil does? Bible says he's as a roaring lion. What does a lion do when it attacks? It goes, and guess what it preys on? Brother Mevin, it preys on the weak. It preys on those that are struggling. Amen. It preys on those that are struggling. And here they find themselves, and they finally get water, and all of a sudden, here comes the enemy. Here comes the enemy. And Moses, come on, being a pretty wise guy, in my opinion, Moses being wise, they just come through this. He just struck the rock. Now Amalek has come against them. They're flanking them from behind. Just a few things I see in this text. Number one, I want you to see that the people had their specific place in which they were supposed to be. Moses tells Joshua, he says, go and get you a few men, get you some men, and go and fight. Yeah. And he says, I'm going to go on tomorrow, and I'm going to go to the top of the hill. And then you read in the next verse, verse number 10, I think it says that he took Aaron and Hur with him. And they went up into the top of the hill, and all of a sudden down in the valley, the fight was happening. Down below them, the fight was happening. And I got to thinking just about today being Pastor Appreciation Day, that man, that each person in this church, you've got a place. You've got a place in which you're to be. You've got something in which you are to do. Here you see Joshua. He goes and he chooses out these men. Joshua was over these men. Joshua went and he selected out a few men to go out to battle. So what I just, whenever I was reading this, I just got to thinking about those men, that they had their specific spot. Some of them were just there just to fight. He goes out and he gets those men and he says, you know what, y'all are going to fight. I'm going to fight with you, but I'm going to be kind of the overseer of you. And you're going to fight, and Aaron and Hur and Moses are going to go up upon the hill. I got to thinking just about those that were down there, man, just giving it all they got, and just about church. Can I tell you something, that not everybody's called to be a teacher. Come on. Not everybody's called to be the preacher. Not everybody's called to work in the nursery. Not everybody's called to do all things. But can I tell you this? that each and every person has a place in which you are to be. And there's always something that the child of God can do. And I'm just talking about just for the church, man. There's something that you can do. Moses didn't think that he could go to Pharaoh. Or his buddy, see, calls him Pharaoh. Didn't think he could go to Pharaoh. God provided somebody to talk for him.
Amen.
He was scared because he said, you know, I can't speak to him. Man, how many times do we sell ourselves short on just thinking what we can do?
Amen.
We think that, oh, well, we can't do that. Well, the Bible says that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He said, I can do all things. So each of us in this building, in this place this morning, we each have a specific place where we could be. And I always look at Moses as the preacher in this place because he was leading the flock. God called him to lead Israel. He led them out of bondage and just what the Lord told him to. But see, there was something else that I got thinking about, Brother Mattis, is that whenever they were upon that hill, he chose two men to go with him. He didn't know. I don't guess he knew that. The Bible doesn't say that he knew that his arms were going to get heavy. But maybe at first, Preacher Tim, come here. Stand up here, if you don't mind. You too. Robert, stand right here. One on this side, one on that side. So get this picture. Now this, and I'm speaking before they held the rod up, before he held the rod up. Can you imagine being out here fighting with everything that you've got? Fighting the enemy now. Fighting the enemy, giving it everything you got with sword and everything. And all of a sudden what you do, you turn around, you look up on the hill, and there's two guys standing beside your leader, just standing there. They just standing there. They're not doing nothing. They're just there with Moses. You know what a lot of people would say?
Come on.
Man, I'm down here giving it everything I got. I'm down here in the trenches. Man, I'm down here. I'm every time the doors of the church are open, I'm there. Every time there's a work day to do at the church, I'm there. Every time that they need volunteers, Brother Benji, I'm there. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And I'm giving it everything I got. And all of a sudden, I turn around and beside the preacher, there's people just standing there. A lot of us will begin to draw up some type of animosity or some kind of feelings against someone. But you know what? They couldn't see it at the time, but those two men had more of a place and a more important place than anybody on the battlefield. Those two men standing beside him had a place in which they were to be. And I'm going to make you stand up there the whole time. But I'll be quick. So you got people's place. But not only that, I want you to notice the prophet's pain. The prophet's pain. Go with me. The Bible says, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand. Amen. Notice that word, hand.
Come on.
That Israel prevailed. But when he let his hand down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Look, go with me to verse number 12. Look at verse 12. It goes from singular to plural. It says, but Moses' hands were heavy. So I want you to know, he holds up the rod with one hand. That's right. He holds up the rod with one hand. When he holds it up, Israel prevails. When he lets it down, Amalek prevails. And it doesn't say in here, this is my opinion, but I wonder if every time that he let down that arm got tired, I wonder if he does just like we do. He swapped hands. He just kept giving it all that he had. And to the point, hold your hands up. And to the point to whenever he's holding that rod up, the Bible said that his hands were heavy. And what did Aaron and Hur do? They held up his hands with him. So I want you to see, this is our pastor. This is our pastor. Sometimes his hands get heavy. Sometimes the man, and I was thinking just about the things that maybe he hears before a sermon, before he's about to preach. Well, such and such, this is happening, that's happening, this is going on in the church. Well, I don't like what such and such did. And all of a sudden, you know what that begins to do? It begins to weigh upon the preacher. And all of a sudden, you know what happens? His hands begin to, they begin to get heavy, just like you see people holding up weights. They can't hold it up forever. But the Bible says that his hands, both of them, not just one, but both of them were heavy. Means they were tired. They were worn out. They were worn out. They were tired of everything. People coming to him. People doing this. People doing that. Moses, his hands were heavy. Maybe he got tired of hearing the people murmuring and hearing the people chiding against everything that was going on. And his hands got heavy because of the people. And all of a sudden, thank God, man, I'm telling you, thank God for people that'll just go and they'll do whatever they need to do. Man, it don't matter whether it's cleaning out a toilet in the back there, whether it's taking out the trash, whether it's cooking a little bit of food. It don't matter what it is. That they'll just do whatever it is that God needs them to do. All of a sudden, these men are holding up the hand. Now, granted, what you don't see here is how long they were going to hold up the hands. There is no time on how long that they were going to hold these hands. So they sat there. The Bible says, but Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat there on, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Man, I don't know about you, but that sounds like an all-day event. Amen. Sometimes when we're doing stuff for the Lord, it might take all day. Sometimes it's going to take more than 30 minutes. Sometimes God will use you in a way in which you never would have thought. You look at that way and you think, well, man, they ain't doing nothing but holding up hands. What did the Bible say when his hands went down? That Amalek would prevail. The enemy would prevail. Hear me out when I say this. You know what the church depends on? That man that's in the middle. Granted, below God. Below God. He is the leader of this church. He is the leader of this church. He is the leader of Liberty Free Will Baptist. If he's not spiritually right, the church will suffer. If he's right, if he's doing the things that God's called him to do, come on, we're going to be all right. Amen. But if his hands would have went down, mark my words, they would have been defeated. They would have gotten beat. The enemy would have prevailed against them. You good? I'll let you sit down now. Your hands hurting, all right. Look at God. But not only do you see the prophet's pain, but I want you to see the power of God in all of this. You know, I talked about in the beginning about how whenever Moses led them out of Egypt, Man, they come to the Red Sea and all of the people are murmuring and they're thinking, you've led us all of this way just for us to be killed. Man, some of them wanted to become Egyptians. Some of them wanted to go back. They said, it wasn't so bad in Egypt. It wasn't so bad over there.
Yeah.
Man, we had food. We had everything that we worked. We worked. But we had food. We had everything we need.
Yeah. Come on.
And all of a sudden, they get to this place and God does a miracle. They get to the next place and needing water and food and all of this stuff. And God provides each and every time. Moses always used that rod of God to do it. And so this is just something that I've seen. That the Bible says, it talks about how whenever Moses chose out those men and he sent Joshua away to go fight with the people. That the Bible says, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 14, write this for a memorial in the book. And rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Now go with me. Joshua's down there with a man-made object, fighting off the people and winning. And the Bible says that he discomfited the Amalekites and all of the people. So can you just get this picture in your mind? Man, him just fighting. He looks back and sees them up on the hill. He just keeps fighting and fighting and fighting. And all of a sudden, he prevails over them. It wasn't Joshua that won.
Amen.
It wasn't Joshua that won the war. And I believe, and this is just the book of Trevor Banks, but I believe that he put that in his ear because he was about to take over the role of Moses. And he had to remind him, the Bible says he had to rehearse it in his ear. He had to keep on telling him. You know what happens whenever you, you know what happens when you begin to rehearse something over and over and over and over again? Guess what? You remember it.
Yeah. Amen.
He said, rehearse it to him. What was he rehearsing? That it wasn't him that won it. It was God. It was God that won it. It wasn't nobody else. It wasn't nothing else but God. And as he got to that point and that rod was used each and every time. And it was a reminder that it was the rod of God. I think sometimes, there's an old saying here, and I would try to do it like him, but I'm not tall enough to get over the thing. But Preacher Tim always says, it ain't about you. It ain't about me. It's all about him. And you see, through that whole entire fight, through that whole entire battle, they had to be reminded at the end that it wasn't you. Moses, it wasn't even you. It wasn't nobody but me. And he rehearsed it in the ears of Joshua and said, hey, it wasn't nobody that got you out of that Red Sea but me. It wasn't nobody that provided that quail and that manna. It wasn't nobody but me. Whenever that rock was struck, I made the water come out of that rock. Whenever y'all were in need, whenever y'all were needing of sweet water, I took that and put it in that bitter water and made it sweet. I made it do that. Not nobody else.
Amen.
But me.
Amen.
This Pastor Appreciation Day, and I know he wouldn't want us to do nothing else but preach on Jesus.
Amen.
And I know that. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. But today ought to be a day that we thank our shepherd. Today ought to be a day that we reassure him that, hey, preacher, stand up. That, hey, preacher, I'll have this side. I'll have this side.
Thank you, Lord.
And he'll have that one. That no matter what, no matter what comes, no matter how heavy his hands get,
thank you, Lord.
That, hey, that there's still some people out in this place, in this congregation right now, that'll hold his hands up.
Amen.
I love
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Appreciate you.
Love you,
appreciate you. Matt, just can play something soft. I don't know if they're going to do an invitation, but I'm going to do one. Hey, y'all going to get all the ample amount of time to get right with Jesus.